Well, welcome to the, I want this to be the last, but it's not the last, but it could be the last, but I want it to be the last situation report. I am doing a situation report rather than putting it on the path forward for one very hard and fast rule, and that is that I want the path forward to be non-political, be more actionable, threat, action, etc. And that's why I'm doing a situation report. I got overwhelmed with email this week for a variety of reasons. So let's start with the whole Trump thing this morning, because that blew up my email too. So first things first, Trump outing the South African president for the genocide that's going on there. That's what he's supposed to do, right? Could he done that more diplomatically? No, not really. They're committing genocide. He's importing people here. He's trying to prove a point. And he did the right thing. And in my mind, that's what he should be doing. That's what we pay him to do. So all of those things together, along with the fact that Trump has been focused on foreign policy, all those things matter. And let's talk about, so I did a Substack article last week, and I'm working on one for this week about cyber. And look, the path forward this week will be tomorrow night. And that show is going to be completely on social media addiction, social media stickiness, why social media is bad for your, not only your emotional health, but your, you know, your mental health in general. So that show is going to be dedicated to that. But I did a Substack last week talking about how Trump is isolating China and Russia out of the Middle East. His trip to the Middle East was more than just securing deals. He literally reset the bar and reset domestic policy. We've, for the last 50 years, we voted a candidate. They talk about hope. They talk about change, blah, blah, all those buzzwords. They don't do anything. Get the same foreign policy. We get the same domestic policy. We get the same set of lies. We get the same non-accountability. We get the same series of legislation that just erodes more of our civil liberties. And Trump changed the bar. And you got to give credit where credit's due. I mean, I'm giving credit to him because he, number one, stopped the Pakistani-Indian war. He, number two, he set conditions within the Middle East to push China out and to reset BRICS. And he did it through securing deals. And he secured a deal for Boeing, which, you know, look, everybody's got the criticism of Boeing, right? If you go back in history, people have had criticism of Ford, of GM, of Chrysler, Dodge. You know, it's no different in the airline industry, right? You go through these, it's a circadian rhythm. You go through ups and downs, and that's Boeing's in a down phase right now. Bad leadership, bad management, bad vendors, pick your topic, right? But the point is that he secured a deal for Boeing, and what he's trying to do is he's trying to bring manufacturing back on shore. At the same time, Elon Musk is disconnected from Doge, and he's moving into building, you know, building droids. So, and AI. Now, there was, if you watch the Sean Ryan and Tucker Carlson interview, which I'm about halfway through, I'll just say this about Sean Ryan because it's worth repeating. And that is, I've been told by a lot of people that Sean Ryan's a good guy. I don't like Stacey Adams. I think that was all predictive programming. There's some of his other guests I don't like, but I've been told he's a good guy, and I'm taking that at face value. Am I still on the fence? Yeah, still on the fence, right? Same with Tucker. His dad was CIA. You can make the leap. And at the end of the day, I'm suspect of people who are rising stars and you know, like the Casey Callie means. They like shot to stardom because they had somebody behind them. Mossad and Big Pharma to help them climb the ladder. And none of that's natural. So it's worth questioning. And look, you can't be in this business and not be questioned and not be ready to be questioned and not be ready to be challenged. It's, you know, the things that burn you out in this, it's not the day-to-day show. It's the negativity. It's the fact that you're constantly immersed in this and that you're dealing with people all the time. And when people hear things they don't want to hear, especially when it's outside their belief system, they lose their minds. there's only so much of that you can take, right? So I put in Sean in context because a lot of people have told me he's a very good guy. So I'll take it at face value. And look, well, the reason why I'm saying that is I suggest that if you haven't watched Catherine Austin Fitz and Tucker and you haven't watched Sean Ryan with Tucker, you should go watch it because it'll give you context more than anything else, right? I don't look at so much the what that they say as the way they say it and the messaging coming out of it. And I'll give you a case in point. So Sean Ryan, they talk about aliens, right? And one of the things that they talk about related to aliens is Sean Ryan's, you know, he says, I think it's spiritual. Okay. So if you go back to Tucker Carlson, Joe Rogan, and when the mic, it was inadvertently started and the camera was inadvertently started at the start of the show, and they were talking about aliens, and he's been told by the, you know, the highest authority that aliens are spiritual, they're interdimensional, et cetera, et cetera. They have the same kind of a conversation here. So I've heard twice now, I've heard the conversation that aliens are not from other planets, they're interdimensional. So, and if you go back to what's being pushed out in the UFO circles, look, there's a lot of rabbit holes you can go down. But I'll just say it this way. They are getting ready to disclose something. And Ben Davidson has been talking about pole shift. Now you're seeing pole shift mainstream. You're seeing the narrative move mainstream. You're seeing the narratives around COVID coming out mainstream. You're seeing the fact that the COVID shots are mainstream now, and they pulled the shots off the market for anybody over under 75. No reason to get them. Now there's still 60 plus shots in the schedule, but that's the power of social media. And they're listening, right? And I'm listening to the narratives coming out of the shows to balance the two. And here's what I'm hearing. Number one, I'm hearing that Trump hears his base. And that number two, the noise over Epstein is constant now. People are not letting it go. And even Mike Flynn today chimed in and said, yeah, we're not buying it. You're not selling that, because we want to see the evidence that he killed himself. We're not going to accept the party line. Nobody accepts the party line, not even Rudy Giuliani, who was on Bannon today. That's the reason that that's the power of social media. You keep the noise level up and you drown out any of their other narratives. And I don't know if you caught it earlier in the week, but on Monday, they moved the big beautiful bill out of committee, and then every Republican organization, every Republican affiliate, they were all talking about the big beautiful bill for like 2 days. That's how you know you're getting psyoped, when everybody is talking about the same thing, saying the same deal the exact same way. Guess what? You're being played. And this is my view of the big beautiful bill, because this is what I got most of the email about this week. First of all, does anybody know what's in it? Has anybody read the bill? It's 3,800 pages. 3,800 pages. I thought part of the mandate when we put them in office was to make sure that it was a single-page bill or a two-page bill that was written in plain English, that was easy for everybody in the world to understand what the context of the bill was. I thought that was the mandate. I didn't sign up for another 3,800 Green New Deal, 3,800 page Green New Deal. I didn't sign up for that. Did you? And that was the messaging this week. Oh, this is going to do this. This is going to do that. Well, if you do the math, so and who do you believe, right? Do you believe OMB? Do you believe the Office of Budgets? Do you believe the Republicans? Well, first of all, I don't believe anything a politician says, or any politician, period. End of story. So the question comes down to, how much money is it going to add to the deficit? And the $42 trillion was the estimate. Okay, that's based on what they've read. But here's the thing. There's probably other parts of the bill that take away more of our civil liberties. So let me just say this to the Republicans, because I know they're listening. First of all, You need to repeal the Patriot Act. You need to repeal the 1986 Vaccine Injury Act. You need to repeal the Smith-Mund Modernization Act. And then you need to make it illegal for news outlets to cite anonymous sources and tell lies so we could start rolling people up. That was the mandate from the American people, along with pass a budget, balance the budget, and do your jobs. I don't want to hear that you need to stay home with your kid. If you can't serve in the office, then don't serve. Retire, resign, leave. And we'll put people in that understand selfless service and understand that when you take a position like that and you swear the oath, you make a sacrifice. All of us that wore the uniform, we made a sacrifice because we went overseas without our families. How many times? Some guys did 5 or 6 combat tours and you're whining and complaining because you can't stay home with your newborn. Why are you in office? That was the mandate. Selfless service, accountability, balance the budget, and pass common sense laws. Full stop. There's no other language around that or adjectives around that that are going to make whatever you're doing okay. And by the way, I didn't sign up for the Gulf of America Act when we have a mountain of issues in this country, one of which is, when are the mass deportations going to start? When are you going to start arresting Supreme Court judges? It's come out and it's a fact by OMB and a few others that John Roberts is running a shadow court system with an oligarch. Why aren't they in prison? Why aren't they in Gitmo? Why isn't there a public trial? That's the mandate. Accountability. And that is what we're seeing, everything but that. In fact, we're seeing so much that's not that everybody's starting to make more noise every single day on social media. Like, what's the one thing you see the most? No arrests. 145 days, no arrests. 160 days, no arrests. What do you think it's going to be like at 300 days? 300 days, no arrests. There's going to be barbarians at the gates and there's going to be a revolution. That's what's going on here. Americans, and look, more people are angry than you think. There are more people in our camp than you think there are. Just because CNN and MSDNC and all these media outlets are making noise doesn't mean the majority is not pissed off. And that's what they're dealing with right now. And I know Trump is out there trying to do trade deals. He's trying to bring, you know, production back here. Humma, humma. I got it. Right? I got it. But here, I'm going to help him, help me, help you, help him. First of all, the mandate for the mRNA vaccines is not going away. American people want the mRNA vaccines taken off the market. They want big pharma executives. They want Anthony Fauci. They want everybody in the AMA, American Medical Association. They want everybody in the state boards. And they want everybody that took money from Big Pharma and pushed the drugs to be held accountable. I don't care if we get down to one doctor left in the country. The people that pushed the jab and the number of deaths is a war crime. It's a crime against humanity. And that noise is not going away. And trust me, I will be the cheerleader for that until the end of time. Because before I die, I'm going to make sure that everybody that was involved in that from DOD all the way down is held to account, including Austin and Millie. And I don't care if they have stage 4 prostate cancer. If they have a tumor dripping out of their nose, they are going to hang at Gitmo for crimes against humanity. That's the mandate. Full stop. And I don't know why that's so hard for Trump to understand. I really don't. Because we weren't ambiguous when we went to the polls. We were very direct. We don't accept communism. We're tired of the censorship. We want the tech bros held accountable. And we want you to get every one of the illegals out. And look, if you're an illegal, I want you to listen to me very, very carefully. because you're going to have two choices in a very short period of time. Choice one is you take the $1,000 and you go back to wherever you came from. Or choice two, we put you on a ship and we send you back with nothing. You go back, nothing. So your choice is you take the $1,000 and you go live for like 6 months in the third world country you came from. You apply legally, you wait your turn, and then you come here when you can and you're approved. Or we roll you up, we throw you out, you never come back, not even to visit. Full stop. That's your choice. And that's your only choice. Because if you stay and you cause problems, like there's a kid up in Washington that killed a state trooper, if that dude doesn't hang, trust me, the barbarians will be at the gates. Americans are sick of the fraud, of the collusion. And look, let's talk about Joe Biden for a second, okay? Because they have put that genie back in the box, so to speak. No, they haven't. First of all, he had prostate cancer for how long? At least 10 years. He was mentally incapacitated the entire time he was in office. And that means that there was a quote-unquote committee running the government. Let me just outline what that is so everybody understands what we're talking about here. There's a group of people, including Clinton and Obama, and probably a number of sitting senators and sitting congressmen, to include Pelosi, Schumer, and a number of others, Hakeem Jeffries, all of them knew that he had cancer, he was incapacitated, and he was unfit for service. Let me say it again. He was unfit for service. That is fraud and a RICO case at a minimum. But the fact that they perpetuated this, supported by the mainstream media for 4 years and committed crimes against the country and crimes against humanity, that's treason. And if there's a foreign actor involved, which there most likely is, the French, the British, and probably Mossad, that's an act of war. And that's exactly how this has to be treated. None of this pussyfooting around, he's got prostate cancer, we can't touch him, he's got to go die in peace. No, he doesn't. The guy abused his daughter for over 10 years. The diary came out. They never refuted the diary. And now the guy's got prostate cancer. Sorry, you're held to account. I don't care who or where or what is your problem, but you're held to account. The guy committed treason. He sold secrets to the Chinese. There is no quarter for the enemy in this case. And everybody that was affiliated with this, everybody that touched this, everybody that facilitated this, everybody that was complicit in this, goes to Gitmo, full stop. I don't care who they are. And they should all be scared, because this is not going away. This entire facade of Biden is not going away. And every day that something else comes out, and look, this is what I want to see. I want to see Obama, Clinton, Clapper, Hayden, Brennan, Axelrod, Rice, Holder, and all the rest of the Obama malcontents. I want to see them all perp walked, taken to Gitmo, tried for treason very publicly, and then I want them hung in the Capitol Rotunda until their bodies fall off of the fucking rope. And it needs to be a very public spectacle. And oh, by the way, I want to know how many of them are regulars to the Epstein Island. That's the other part of this that all comes full circle. Because Clinton basically said, I'm going to burn the whole system down if I'm arrested. Good. I want you to. I want you to expose all the malfeasance, because then it's going to expose all your malfeasance and it's going to seal your fate. And I hope that you spend the rest of your miserable fucking life in a prison cell in Gitmo tossing salad, you evil bitch, along with Barry and the rest of you assholes. And that's the piece that nobody's talking about right now. Who was behind Epstein Island? Everybody knows it was Mossad. Everybody knows he was an intelligence expert. And Alan Dershowitz came out this week and said that he believes that Epstein was a Mossad asset. You know what that's all about? I'll tell you exactly what that's all about. He's creating a narrative so that he can claim that he was coerced by the intelligence services to support and defend Jeffrey Epstein, or his life was in danger. See how that game's played? It's the same thing with Biden. You give him cancer. If he doesn't die in office, then you give him an easy way out so he doesn't have to face any accountability for any of the myriad of crimes he committed against humanity and the crimes he committed against his own family and the treason he committed by selling secrets to China. That's how the game's played. And that's what they're all trying to do. Don't ask us any questions. Just let him go in peace. They don't want you to ask any questions because they were all complicit. They were all involved. They were all taking money from USAID. They were all involved in the fact that they were committing treason and they were committing fraud against the American people. That's why they don't want you to ask any questions. That's why they wanted to censor this, because they knew at some point this was all going to come out. You know why? Because the truth always comes out. And when the truth comes out, you don't need to worry about defending it, because it's the truth. And you don't have to worry about it standing the test of time. You know why? Because it will, because it's the truth. And in this case, the truth is everybody in D.C., and I mean everybody, including Kevin McCarthy, knew that Biden was unfit for duty. And they all went along with it, every single one of them. And look, you don't get to say, I was just doing my job or I was coerced. I'm sorry. If there's two people left from the House and the Senate when this is all said and done, and they're both Secret Service agents, guess what? Accountability has been served, along with justice. Because as far as I'm concerned, if you even knew or suspected, you didn't say anything about his cognitive abilities or the fact that he was completely unqualified, and that's only the start. The other side of this is everything that was signed into law from 2020 until he left office, including the pardons, is null and void, which means that anything that was signed is not a thing. And it should all be repealed, every bit of it. And the fact that the Supreme Court is going along with this, every time they make a ruling against the president, guess what? That's an act of treason, because that's not fair and unbiased. That's biased and that has malice. And guess what? That's prosecutorial and that's judicial misconduct. And that's exactly how it should be treated. And as far as I'm concerned, if I was Trump, I would not only ignore the federal judges, I would suspend habeas corpus and I would arrest every fucking one of them, every federal judge that went off the reservation and decided to legislate from the bench. Guess what? You go to Gitmo, we sort you out there. That's exactly how that game should be played. And while I'm on the topic, this notion that the Supreme Court's untouchable, no, you're not. John Roberts, if you're conducting a shadow court and you're manipulating the outcome of cases before they're even heard, that is judicial misconduct at the very least. And you should be held to account for that. In fact, I just want to see the tapes of you at Epstein Island and on the plane, and that will be enough to seal your fate for the rest of time. And then there's Comey Barrett. Let's talk about Comey Barrett for a second. She misrepresented herself, which means she lied under oath, which is perjury. And perjury, last I checked, especially to Congress, is a felony. So she's at a minimum guilty of a felony if she lied under oath, especially about her political beliefs when asked directly about it. And the fact that we're sitting here having this conversation and we still don't know, by the way, nobody buys the story that Epstein killed himself. Let's just get that out of the way. Look, when a talking head in the mainstream starts out with, you know, I really like Dan Bongino, you know, and I really like Kash Patel, but I don't know what's going on. I can tell you what's going on. They've been directed to say that. And if you look at Dan Bongino before and Dan Bongino now, you will see two distinct dudes talking about two distinct things. Like, why haven't we heard about anybody in the FBI being fired since they started? Why hasn't anybody in the FBI been prosecuted for any kind of a felony or crime? Because we know they committed them. And by the way, why isn't anybody talking about what happened to Patriot Front? Those guys were all over the news, and then all of a sudden, they're not there anymore. And oh, by the way, all of the FBI informants, all the FBI handlers, they've just gone to the wind. And Crooks and some of the other assassination attempts that were visited by the FBI, why isn't that being investigated? Why aren't people being fired? Why are people being promoted in the FBI? Why haven't we heard about mass layoffs at the CIA? Why haven't we heard about the CIA being defunded? Or better yet, why is the FBI still getting a new building? They've rolled the ATF, DEA, and other agencies into the FBI to make it bigger. Does that sound like a national police force to you? And yet you can't fire anybody because you're working on immigration? No one buys that story. And oh, by the way, let me just put this on the table so everybody really hears me clearly. They're building a national police force. All this rhetoric and all this noise about folding all these other agencies in, they're building a national police force. They're consolidating all these agencies under the FBI to include the ATF. And the fact that they didn't do away with the National Firearms Act, they didn't do away with the background checks for suppressors and short-barreled rifles, that tells me that they're going to go after that as soon as they consolidate power. And maybe I'm wrong. I'd love to be wrong. But if it looks like a duck, it walks like a duck, it's a fucking duck. And I didn't sign up for a national police force. And by the way, has the Capitol Police rolled back any of their precincts outside of Washington, D.C.? Are we doing anything about the Chinese police force, the CCP police force precincts that are all over the U.S.? Are they going after those? Or are they building a national police force and going after law-abiding citizens? Because I thought the mandate was to get the Chinese out of here. And I thought the mandate was to build a counterintelligence program. Maybe I missed something there. I don't know, but maybe I missed something there. And look, I'll give Cash and I'll give Bongino the benefit of the doubt when they actually show us the files, they show us the tapes, and they start arresting people. But so far, we're over 110 days, and there's no arrests. And I don't want to hear they're coming, because I've heard that all week. People are calling me, oh, the rhetoric's there. It's coming. They're going to arrest people. Really? When's that? Because you got enough to roll up Obama and Clinton right now. You have enough to roll up Brennan for sure. And if Brennan's not in the country, here's my question to you, Mr. President. Why haven't you issued a kill order on that son of a bitch? That guy has committed treason in so many different ways. I don't even know why. It's like Bill Gates. Why is he still walking the planet? Guy's committed genocide. Everything he's been involved with. Trying to block the sun. Why is this guy still alive? Why is he still walking the streets? I want somebody to explain that to me at the national level. And more importantly, why did it take almost 3 months to get to the point where you banned mRNA? And you didn't ban it. You just restricted it. When do you ban it? When do you ban the vaccines? 60 plus vaccines for children from the age of 0 to the age of 20. A skyrocketing epidemic of neural disorders, blood disorders, heart disorders, brain disorders, autism, and other you know, nefarious health issues because of the vaccines. Why aren't they banned? Seriously, why aren't they banned? I'll tell you why. Because your chief of staff needs to go to Gitmo 2. And everybody in Big Pharma needs to be lined up and shot for crimes against humanity. I don't know what part of that you missed. I mean, it's pretty clear. Jesus. All these retards are like, and look, I'm being somewhat animated about this, but here's the reality of the situation. People were all up in arms over the Qatari deal with the aircraft, the deal with Qatar. Look, here's the beauty of the situation that Trump created last week. And this is why some of this, we have to wait and see how it flushes out, but others, we need to keep the noise level up. So first of all, when he went to Qatar and made the deal, Qatar funds Al-Qaeda, they fund Hezbollah, and they fund a number of other terrorist groups. They're not our friends. But what's the bigger enemy right now? Is it China or is it terrorist groups? It's China. And I'll tell you why it's China. Because China owns mineral resources around the planet for all the key and critical minerals. China was building their own financial system. Nobody wants to deal with China because their system's not clean. Everything they do is manipulated. Everything about their currency is a lie. Everything about their economy is a lie. Nobody wants to deal with that system because they realize that the Chinese come in, they make deals, they don't honor the deals, They steal all the technology they possibly can. They make the playing field completely unlevel so that you, even if you wanted it to be somewhat equal, it won't be, and it never can be. And that's what Trump did. He went over there and he offered everybody an alternative to the BRICS deal, which was going sideways anyway. And he offered prosperity instead of war and conflict. And if you listen to what he said in his speech was very clear. Number one, we're not going to enforce our will in the region anymore. Number two, we're going to pull back from wars. We're going to pull back from gunboat diplomacy. And he all but said, we're going to pull U.S. forces out of here. And we're going to create economic opportunity. We're going to rebuild Syria. We're going to revitalize the economic region here. And we're going to make prosperity a thing here versus conflict and destabilization. And he said it all in one speech. And if you think about it, it's probably the most brilliant thing he's done since he's been in office, because he's changing the paradigm. Like I said when I started the show, right? We vote for the same thing over and over and over again. We hear the same thing over and over and over again. But we get the same domestic policy, foreign policy, and we get the same rhetoric every single time. This is a chance for the first time in American history for us to see something different. And what we're seeing is the fact that Trump has made it a point to make economics the forefront of our foreign policy, which has never been the case. And all in one moment, he marginalized Israel, he marginalized China, and he marginalized Russia in the region. Because if we go in and build Syria, which is why Mossad, MI6, and the Europeans are trying desperately to start a civil war in Syria, because Trump, they know that if Trump is successful and Trump goes and rebuilds Syria, Syria used to be a very modern country. Assad was a lot of things, but Assad was all about prosperity. It was the Clintons and the neocons and the rest of the, you know, grifters in Washington, D.C. that wanted Assad gone. But he actually did a lot of things for Syria, just like Gaddafi did in Libya. And Trump said, we've done it this way for so long, it's not successful, so we're going to do something different. And now he's doing something different. And that something different is, we're going to rebuild the region. We're going to bring in U.S. companies. We're going to bring in U.S. assets. We're going to bring in all these things to help you rebuild, like the Marshall Plan. And then we're going to let you be an economic powerhouse in the region. And oh, by the way, we're going to invest heavily in AI. Now, there's dangers in all of that. But the point is, if you give people a financial incentive versus the conflict incentive and the destabilization incentive, everybody's the same. Humans are humans, right? The one thing I learned in Iraq that I firmly believe is that most Iraqis just wanted to be left alone. They wanted to live their life. They wanted to enjoy their family. And they wanted to have food on the table, power in their house, and water in their house. It wasn't any more complicated than that. You get the normal stuff, the basic utilities going, and guess what? Most people are happy. It's when you start to mess with that people get unhappy. And Trump is trying to restore the basics across the planet so everybody's on a level playing field, right? And that's never going to happen in certain regions. But for the most part, he's pushing China out, because Belt and Road is an economic and a financial trap for most third world countries. And Trump's saying, here's our alternative. We'll invest, and you let us take resources out of here. You let us take materials out of here, and you let us bring in contractors. We'll put you guys to work, and we know how to do this at scale. We'll come in and help you rebuild, and then you guys can have it. And there's no conditions on it, because Trump realizes that a viable and a very robust middle class is going to make everybody rich. He's not a dummy. And he did that all in one week in one speech. And the reason why the city, and look, if you go watch Luongo and the rest of them, they're going to talk about how the city of London and all these other things are going on, and there's a fight going on. I don't know how much of that I believe, but I do know this, that Trump is doing his level best to put together economic packages that will help not just the U.S., but will help the world. And I want to see it come to fruition. I want to see Israel marginalized. I want to see Netanyahu in prison. And I want to see people held to account. I do not want to fight another war, and I definitely don't want to fight a war with Iran. And that's what Trump said. I don't want to fight a war with Iran. But look at what happened. The moment that he leaves, there's the threat of civil war in Syria. Iran doesn't believe the U.S. Hama, hama, hama. And now Israel's planning to bomb Israeli or Iranian nuclear sites. It's the same old script. But Trump at least made yeoman's effort to go over there and create economic conditions. Same thing he tried to do with the Abraham Accords. So it's the exact same thing. When Jared Kushner went over there in 2018, his whole premise was we're going to create economic opportunity zones. We want everybody to participate. Everybody's going to have a level playing field. And that was when the tariff part of this was really an important part, right? Because if they could get everybody there at 0 or 10% tariffs, so everybody's charging the same amount, then the economics of that would grow exponentially within the region, not just from oil and natural resources, but from, you know, manufacturing, from trade, et cetera. There's a myriad of things that would have come out of that. And that's why the tariffs were so important. And Trump has done his level best to try and get the tariff conversation moving forward, right? But then you got all these dipshits in Congress that are on the take. And look, all you have to do is listen to them squawk. The ones that are squawked are the ones that are being prodded by their billionaires or their companies or whoever owns them, whoever the belly button is behind them is telling them to vote against this. Is that good for the American people? No. They're going to try and tell you it's for your safety. It's for the health and the welfare of the American people. It's for the good of the country. No. Everybody in Washington, D.C. is a shitbag. And that's without exception. I don't care who they are. If you go, look at MTG. She's the cheerleader for MAGA. She's a gangbang girl as far as I'm concerned. Because her ankles are always pointing at the ceiling. First it was Kevin McCarthy. Then it was whoever she's with now. They go there. They talk about how good Christians they are and how their lives are so happy. Blah, blah, blah. Like Mike Johnson, gay, married to a woman, gay. Come on. So the whole place is a cesspool. And if they're squawking about something that's good for the country, it means they're bought off and they're controlled. And that's what Rand Paul showed very, very graphically as soon as the tariff conversation came around. So I look at the whole situation and I'm seeing Trump's fighting an uphill battle, but we know who the snakes are now. And more importantly, the things we need to keep the pressure on. Number one, we need to keep the pressure on the Epstein story. We need to keep the pressure on not just who was involved, who's a regular at the island, who was funding the operation and running the operation. I don't want to hear we need to go after the people that went to the island. They're going to get named in both the Diddy case and in the Epstein files. We already know who those shitbags are. But we don't know who the funders are. We don't know who the handlers are. We don't know who the intelligence services were that were involved in this. And that's who needs to be outed. The billionaires and the oligarchs that are on the other side of the intelligence services that were running this for so long, they're the ones that need to be outed. And you can bet that it's going to lead right back here to AIPAC and right back here to the Jewish mob. And every single one of them needs to be held to account because that's treason. And the fact that a foreign intelligence service was involved in an operation to compromise American diplomats and American congressmen and American leaders, that's an act of war. Call it what it is. Don't call it this nonsense of, oh, well, it's just a blackmail operation. No, it's an act of war. It's like meddling with our elections. It's an act of war. And China was actively involved in the 2020 election, along with a few other countries. That's an act of war, and we need to treat it as such. And we need to retaliate in kind. And that doesn't mean kinetic. There's lots of other ways to mess with China. We should be using every lever right now to make it painful for China, whether they use a direct action or they use a proxy, it doesn't matter. We retaliate against the CCP and a few others. So when you look at all those things put together, first of all, keep the noise level up on social media. Secondly, call BS on everything you see. Thirdly, expect that everything in the news cycle, everything coming out of DC is nonsense. It's all lies and fiction. It's all just a show, and treat it as such. And then finally, stay out of the emotional space of this. Just because I'm animated doesn't mean I'm emotionally charged about this stuff. I'm just being animated so people get the point. And the point is, that they're trying to keep people in an emotionally heightened state. Why? So that you'll forget about the stuff that's going on in the peripherals. You're not paying attention to anything other than what's in the news cycle. And the news cycle is designed to keep you hijacked. That's what it's designed to do. It's not designed to do anything else. It's not positive. It's never going to be positive. It's always going to be negative. It's always going to be inflammatory. And it's always going to be trying to incite some kind of either a race war, an emotional battle, or some kind of a domestic battle. They want you to draw lines. When you step away from that battle space and you just disregard it altogether, then it doesn't bother you as much. None of this bothers me because I realize that the American people are awake now. A good percentage of the American people are awake. And look, I'm always going to hear every day, because I hear it every day, that there are people that are fast asleep. You're right, there are. The normalcy bias is going to affect a certain percentage of the population no matter what we do. Doesn't matter how much messaging you do. Doesn't matter how much red pilling you do. The bottom line is there's always going to be a portion of the population that's fast asleep. And one of the interesting things that came out is that there's going to be another part of the population that's completely unable to check in. And those are the people that got the jab. So there was a story this week, and top of my head, I can't remember where it was at. But that said, they did autopsies on people that died from the jab, and they saw two commonalities across all of those people. Number one, their pineal gland was destroyed. And number two, their adrenocrine system was, I think I said that right, adrenocrine system, was severely impacted by the spike protein. So there's going to be a portion of the population now that's unable to respond no matter what, because they've just basically just been anesthetized. So that leaves what? That leaves a third of the population that's awake and didn't get the jab. That should sound vaguely familiar. Endocrine, thank you. God, it was not coming to me. The point is that this sounds very, very reminiscent of the American Revolution, which is we've come full circle now. And whether or not we go into a kinetic revolution, whether we go into a conflict with AI, whether we go into a conflict with another country, at some point this will come home to roost. And with all the different noise that's out there, pole shift, aliens, alternative energy, AI, just take your flavor, right? There's going to be the system's flooded with noise. But the signal that I'm looking for, and the signal that matters right now, is they haven't stopped the Ukraine war. They haven't brought anything related to the censorship in Europe, because it's more than that, the communism. They're not, that's moving full steam ahead. And what I'm also paying attention to is what's going on here. National police force, erosion of our liberties, trying to consolidate AI and create a technocratic environment. They're still building the technocratic jail, whether you think so or not, they're building it. And the fact that they rolled out Larry Ellis and Scam Altman to talk about what AI can do and why we need to invest in all these different things to tell you exactly your genome, guess what? They're messaging something, right? And so I did listen to Dr. David Martin, I think it was 2 days ago, where he's talking about Event 501, which is another virus on July 4th. We'll see. So much noise. This is what I'll say. I'm paying attention to the signal, the Epstein files, the stuff that's coming out about that, because there are disclosures about it coming out now. The Dershowitz disclosure, that is a real disclosure. That is the guy that was on the inside that defended him, talking about the Mossad was involved in the operation. And I'm not convinced that that's managed disclosure. They're doing managed disclosure, and they're starting that process around the pole shift. They're doing managed disclosure around the Diddy file. They're doing managed disclosures about alternative energy. I don't know what that alternative energy is, but I'm watching those disclosures as they come out. I'm watching those narratives as they come out. They're definitively building a narrative around pole shift, and they're censoring guys like Ben Davis. Like, they cut his feet off the other night. And that means he's directly over target. They don't want you to know it. And I would say that, and look, I don't know how much I've read a lot about the pole shift stuff. I've read a lot about the magnetic field. And I can tell you, after reading multitudes of documents about it, that I still am not convinced that everything that's going along with going on in these articles is actually come to fruition. Because one of the premises of the pole shift is that the magnetic pole shifts 90 degrees, 104 degrees, 110 degrees, 30 degrees, doesn't matter. The pole shifts, and then the mantle of the Earth and the rotation of the Earth shift as well. Okay, I don't know how much of that I believe. You're telling me that the magnetic pole is going to shift, and then the mantle of the Earth just suddenly shifts on its own? Okay, nobody's going to survive that. So you might as well smoke them if you got them, because nobody's surviving that. And if you do, there's going to be a mass die-off of plants, animals, who knows what else. You could be underwater if that's real. And so why worry about it? But that said, you know, if he's right and that's real and they're censoring because of that, then he's over target. And that means it's as closer than you think. Who knows how close? He's saying 2040. It could be tomorrow. Could be a month from now. Could be 2 years from now. Could be 10 years from now. Who knows? But the point is, I'm watching all these narratives build. I'm watching what the storylines are. I'm watching what the talking points are, because the talking points give you a lot about what their overall, you know, second and third order effects they want you to believe, right? So I don't buy any of this stuff at face value, because there's too much nonsense that goes along with it that could go either way. Could be true, could be complete BS, right? I think it's good that the blowback from social media is being really watched by the administration and by the people around Trump. That's a good thing, because it means he's actually listening to his base. So keep the noise level up on mRNA, on the Means twins, and on Big Pharma and accountability. Those things need to happen, as well as mass deportations. We haven't seen those yet, and why not? So I know he's talked about the self-deportation, but at some point we're going to have to start rolling people up. And the other part is, we're going to have to start rolling up liberal governors, mayors, AGs, etc. And why isn't Tina Peters free? Why haven't you rolled up Jenna Griswold and the governor of Colorado? Why haven't you rolled them up? Why haven't you rolled up the judges of Washington State for upholding unconstitutional Second Amendment laws? Why aren't you holding anybody accountable in California for the blatant and overt fraud that has gone on for the past 10 years since Gavin Newsom took office? And why isn't Gavin Newsom behind bars? That's the noise level we need to keep up. And we need to keep the pressure on Pam Bondi to either do something or resign. Because I'll tell you, if this gets to a year, Trump's going to have a bigger problem on his hand. He's going to have a revolution on his hands, because Americans are fed up. And they're not going to go 4 years this time. You get 12 months. You don't do it in 12 months, then you're going to have armed conflict on your hands. Because that's where the rhetoric is going. That's what I'm hearing on a regular basis, and that's what I'm starting to see from Americans. And by the way, I should let everybody know, as a closing note, that gun sales are an absolute all-time high right now. 490 million weapons in circulation right now. Take that in, 490 million. There's 330 million people that are citizens of this country, and there's almost double that in weapons. That means everybody's got more than one gun. So there's two blades of guns. Two guns behind every blade of grass. And I can't talk to you. Can you tell I've been on the phone all day? Look, I did the sit rep tonight, and I'll probably do one next week, because there's so much noise in the system. Disregard the noise. I'll say it again. Disregard the noise. Don't pay attention to it. Just noise. Anything that comes out of DC is noise. Until people are arrested, until the tapes drop from Epstein, it's all noise. It's all bullshit. Ammo prices suck right now. They are 2022, 2021 prices right now. About 400, 450 for a brick of 1,000, 556, 300 blackouts, about 700, 308s about 550, and 9 millimeters about 270, 300, depends on where you buy it. So there's there's definitely an increase. But I think we'll see some stabilization in that. The increase is not due to the tariffs. The increase is due to the fact that most of the ammunition production has moved overseas because a lot of the ammunition companies have been purchased by overseas companies. So with the exception of, I think even Winchester's made overseas, but Lake City is still made here, but Lake City is transitioning to do 338 Lapua and to do 6.8, I think it is the new caliber for the infantry. So yeah, you'll see a spike in some of that, but that doesn't mean you should stop, just buy what you can. And the other piece is, we're at a very high threshold right now, or a high likelihood of major cyber attacks. Over the last week, there has been probably 5 or 6 different attacks on retail outlets, mainly in the UK and Europe. But we've seen, and it's seasonal, right? It spikes up for attacks, then levels off in the wintertime, but it's been steady all year long, just this steady line of attacks all year long, which is why I focused on it on the path forward, because I think the cyber landscape is the most dangerous enemy course of action right now, because it can do the most damage in a short period of time that can destabilize the most. You take out infrastructure, denial of service attack on the air transportation system, and you've seen how brittle and how easy the air traffic system is to disrupt. It wouldn't take much of a cyber attack to disrupt all those things, which is why I've been focused on it. And as our enemies get more destabilized, the likelihood of an attack on the cyber realm grows exponentially the more destabilized they get. So that's why it's a focus right now, and that's why you should be focused on securing your own networks, securing your own information, and at least have a backup. Get a backup drive. And keep that backup drive close at hand, but disconnect it. So at least you have something it's called immutable. Keep it immutable so that you can't access somebody, it's air gapped, you can't access it, et cetera. At least have something of your personal data backed up. And you can never have enough backups anyway. So, and I'm going old school on this stuff because I've seen some very sophisticated attacks in the last week, which I think is very, very interesting. There's been a mountain of ransomware. So if you hear me say anything, pay attention to securing your own information, your own house, update all your stuff. And most importantly, when you're not using it, turn it off. Don't let it sit there running in nauseam. Turn it off. Walk away from it. That way, if something happens, guess what? You only lose one or two devices. You don't lose everything. And last but not least, stay off of social media as much as you can. There's been just this social media blitz about, this attacks on families, attacks on kids. Just stay away from it. And let me ask you a question. What are you going to lose if you're not on social media all day? Like, I'm on Twitter off and on all. And yeah, so I just got kicked out of my own studio. I'm not exactly sure what happened there, but that's means I'm over target. So anyway, point in fact, stay out of the information space as much as possible. Be as prepared as you can be. If you haven't gone through your stuff, go through your stuff. And as always, 5 gallons of water per person per day. So standard language. I will be back next Wednesday with a situation report. I'll be back tomorrow on the path forward, talking about social media and cyber. Till then, God bless. One team, one fight.